Fellow Freedom fans, David Allen Carmichael back here with this Preservative Talk Radio on my Faith and Freedom show, where we're going to talk about the issues of the day from a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. Little thing I found in the news here today, and it was just when I was dancing around the silly Huffington Post, which is not something I read. If I see a link that goes there, I'll read it, I'll follow it. Once in a while, I'll check it to see if there's something incredibly outlandish that I can just go ahead and play because it'll be significant to you. There's interesting thing they've got there today. They've got a whole bunch of a series of photos about schools and what teacher, they call it teacher controversies. And one of the things they listed all these really outrageous things that teachers in the public schools are doing. I sort of thought it was a little bit weird because they are somebody that celebrates a public school system. And I think that there's the public school teachers, especially in the South, who have great desire, great moral fiber, and are carrying on traditions that may have been in place 50 years ago that made education strong and moral and virtuous, but has been, for the most part, abandoned in more recent years. So I was a little bit shocked that they were really, you know, having an indictment on some teacher activities. Here were one of the 36 items that were listed. Union Elementary School official. Parents in Clinton, North Carolina, were outraged after an assistant principal gave a third grader a strip search there. Strip searched a third grader. I wonder if the punishment for what, let's say you accused a child of doing something, do you have the authority to say, as a punishment, we're going to strip search you? The Union Elementary School official believed the boy had stolen money and ordered him to strip to his boxers. She believed, imagine, can I tell you what? There was times, things that happened to me when I was a young person. It's called, what is it called? Aggravated sexual assault, aggravated sexual battery. I don't know. When you're stripping, when you have the authority, or you're a person of this young stature, and somebody of authority tells you to do something that's incredibly humiliating, violates your sexual privacy, you know, that's called aggravated. That's an aggravated assault. Because you have so much strength and authority, they're really at a disadvantage. They can't protect themselves. See, it's one thing to be assaulted, and if you're going to make an assault on somebody who can give you what for right back, well, they've got a choice. They can give you what for right back, or they can sue you later. You know, they can just de-escalate and take your money in a civil suit. Well, a little child can't do that kind of stuff. Here the state, the government, forces the child to be there against his will, and then you're humiliated. Now, stop and think about this. Does a court have the authority to do that? To presume a child guilty? To presume an adult guilty? And then as punishment, without trial, without due process, order a strip search? Well, effectively, you see that happening in jail systems today. But, I mean, okay. But theoretically, is that what happens? Is it more important to identify for sure that the child stole something? Is the state God? Now, I would say, some of you say, oh, you're a libertarian. What's happening, folks, is we have abandoned our faith in Almighty God. We give lip service to Jesus, but we don't really believe that it's appointed man wants to die and then the judgment, do we? Because we take it upon ourselves to be the judge in all cases and say, well, it's justified. It's justified to exercise his power. Well, no, it isn't. It's actually more important. You know why there's a boundary of government? In fact, I'm going to give you something biblically on this. You may disagree with me. You may be a pastor. And guess what? I'm going to hopefully convince you that I'm right here in a second. It's better to protect this child as if he were innocent, even if he were guilty, because there's a possibility that the child is actually innocent. Imagine defiling an innocent child. Imagine thwarting and undermining his innocence if he were really innocent. But it's But what happens, we forget the Bible, we forget the Word of God, and we start doing things because we've got the power to do it, because we're depraved, corrupt, vicious, and degenerate. That's why the framers of government put boundaries. You know, they believed it was appointed man once to die, then the judgment. They believed that you should actually have due process with a trial, and the heritage that they had was you could not convict a man unless there were absolute, you were so convinced that there was not even a reasonable doubt, because it was more important to protect the life, liberty, and property of the innocent than it was to hold somebody accountable by the hands of man. You know why it's not that important to hold them accountable by the hands of man? Because it's appointed man once to die and then the judgment. It's all going to get sorted out at the end. But the government's responsibility under the laws that we have is not to hold everybody accountable absolutely as if the state were God. It's to protect the life, the liberty, and property of people. Now, so let's see what happens here. They believe the boy had stolen something. Oh, it turns out he might have stuck in a bush. You know, but what, I mean, hey. So I say it would be better to say, okay, the kid, we believe he stole something. Let's ask him. Hey, tell you, for the following reasons, it's pointing to you. And so we have to investigate. And then if he says, I didn't do it. You know, he doesn't have to say anything. He could be so scared, he doesn't know what to say. I mean, if he says, I didn't do it, you say, well, okay, he says he doesn't do it. That's our evidence. Now, you could go to his parents and say, hey, we had this incident. Just need to let you know, today somebody accused him of stealing something. And we asked him, and he said this. These are the facts. It did point in his direction, and we don't have any authority to molest the child, because it's appointed man wants to die, then the judgment. And you're his parent. It's up to you to determine what might be done. In fact, it might be unjust for a parent to punish him if they don't know the facts, huh? But again, they'll be accountable to God for that. But so it's more important to just say, hey, parents, these are the facts. We don't have the authority to do anything. What do you expect us to do, strip search him? I mean, really. Now, if you're a pastor and you say, oh, you're just too libertine, well, let me stop and think about this. On what is the basis? In fact, if you go to the Bible and you're going to find out there's a standard for instance, capital crime or any crime, that if somebody makes an accusation, that it can never be done by one witness. It can't ever be done by one witness, even if the person's guilty. Let's say that somebody commits a murder. That God did not give the authority, did not delegate the authority, even in the Bible, to man to execute judgment in our you know, man-made government. He did not delegate judgment of somebody's crime unless it could be proven absolutely. In fact, that means that the guilty will go free. But if you understand, ultimately it's appointed man wants to die, then the judgment. Nobody gets away with anything. So have you got the faith to trust God? Have you got the faith to limit your own execution of your power? We're finding more and more Americans don't. And you're just this. Oh yeah, I'm a Republican and I'm a Christian and I know right from wrong and they're a minister of God for a good. No, the law is the minister of God for our good, isn't it? So if a magistrate does something contrary to law, is he good? Not if he's violating the law. Okay, but we don't understand law. It says in Scripture, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Realize that God's mercy is very, 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 very strong. Very strong. In fact, He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. He is merciful and long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Our Creator has got a lot of grace. His judgment is absolute. It's eternal. It's going to be painful. So keeping that in mind, what ought we to do? What manner of man ought we to be? Just so you know what I am. And David Allen Carmichael, the number here is 888-248-2046. So, on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. This is Preservative Talk Radio. I'm going to quote Benjamin Franklin now. Again, this is something I did last week in a teaching a class to high schoolers. The small progress we have made, said Benjamin Franklin, after 4 or 5 weeks close attendance and continual reasonings with each other, are different sentiments on almost every question. Several of the last producing as many no's as yeas. It is, methinks, a melancholy proof of the imperfection of the human understanding. I guess even back then, we had a pandemic of dementia. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom, said Benjamin Franklin. Since we have been running about in search of it, we have gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which, having been formed with the seeds of their own dissolution, no longer exist. So far he's wondering, how fruitful is this going to be, eh? And we have viewed modern states all round Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In the situation of this assembly, this is the constitutional, we call it constitutional convention. Back then they were just trying to officially modify the Articles of Confederation, but they ended up framing a constitution. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when presented us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of the humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illumine our understanding? A deist, huh? You know, Benjamin Franklin had a lot of things that I would say were sketchy. My English friend would say dodgy. But who knows what he had been, his, you know, when you're rearing a child the way he should go, when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Who knows, as an 81 or 83-year-old, I think it was 81 at the time he made this comment, that maybe something had dawned on him with regard to his relationship with the Heavenly Father. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. That's happiness. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend, or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? That's something to consider. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more a convincing proof I see in this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Something to consider when we're voting. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our little political local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and byword down to future ages. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg to leave move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy in this city be requested to officiate in that service. Those are the words of Benjamin Franklin. When they deliberating the Constitution, this is our heritage. It's a byword that is a byword of freedom. Preserved for you. David Allen Carmichael, Preservative Talk Radio.